Now, Hebrews chapter 11, as you should know, is the great Bible chapter on faith. And it preserves word portraits of numerous members of the family of God in relation to the life of faith. It's noteworthy of all these individuals mentioned in this chapter. While mention is made of their faith, none is made of their sin, and some of them were great sinners. Why is that? Because every believer mentioned in the 11th chapter of Hebrews is seen in the light of the 10th chapter. They are seen standing in the covenant of grace as having been the subject of the great redeeming work of Calvary. Their sins have been pardoned, blotted out, and forgiven. We shall thank God this afternoon if by God's unspeakable and immeasurable mercy and grace we feel ourselves to be of His people and we believe and feel that our sins are remembered no more. Well, I want to come at this time to my text this afternoon, which is Hebrews 11, verse 27. By faith, he, Moses, forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. I want to notice with you this afternoon six things concerning the sight that Moses saw. Now, firstly, let us consider this. It was a glorious sight, as seeing him, the text says, who is invisible. Indeed, the Almighty is he who is invisible to the naked eye of man. He is the unseen one. And there is no way that man of himself can penetrate the dark mantle of God's invisibility. No man has ever seen his form. Indeed, what form has he to be seen? And yet, we read here that Moses endured as seeing him who is invisible. Well, we know that Moses saw God in a vision and symbolically in the bush. And what a wonderful experience, surely, that was. But what is spoken of here, I believe, is not just that one or two great memorable occasions, but is speaking of the continual viewing of God by Moses as he went about his life and duties. Now, Moses has seen that God was sovereign and holy at the bush and at Sinai. And he, by faith, or by so sight, we might say, believed in a very practical, tangible way in the actual presence of God in this world and in God's intervention in human life and affairs, particularly in the case of his elect, chosen people. Moses was utterly convinced that God was with him to cheer his heart, to guide his way, to confirm his work, and in the end, vindicate him. It's a wonderful thing, my friend, if you really believe that God is with you. I remember in a certain meeting of a certain society, the chairman said, I must ask Mr. Scott Pearson to withdraw his remarks. I said, sir, I shall not withdraw my remarks, for they are the truth, and were they not so, I would not have made them. And seeing they have been made, they shall stand. And then I quoted the scripture, as in the sight of God speak we in Christ. I'm not frightened of the chairman or the 13 other men in that committee. I'm in fear of God, and I believe I live. And if you're a believer, you live in the sight of Almighty God. Moses was utterly convinced that God was with him. And he not only wholeheartedly believed in God's presence with him, but he relied on his strength. God's presence was to him an actual, tangible power on which he could lean. That's how it should be to every believer, you know. We are without doubt not called to such a high and singular career as Moses was, but his sight of the invisible was the same act of the soul, the same exercise of faith, by which all of the Lord's people in the camp of Israel were sustained, regardless of how humble they were. If God has graciously dealt with us, has revealed himself to us as a Savior and friend, has made us to feel that he is our provider, protector, and comforter, then we shall also be graciously enabled to endure, no matter what comes in our lives and circumstances. We shall endure as seeing him who is invisible. When the visible threatens, when the visible allures, when the visible decays, changes and passes away, when our flesh is tormented and our spirits are tried, we shall by grace endure. Someone wrote, "Yes, I to the end shall endure." As sure as the earnest is given, more happy but not more secure, the glorified spirits in heaven. We were born into this world, each of us, with dark, depraved, benighted souls. But if by God's unspeakable mercy and measureless grace we have been born anew, then in a very real sense we have seen him who is invincible. Because he has revealed himself to us now, and we walk and live and have our beings in the light of that revelation to our souls. Thank God. The God who has set divine affection upon us and loved us with an everlasting love is the Lord omnipotent who reigneth. All things are in his sight. All things are under his control. We are owned and loved of him. How glorious! Thank God if you can sing in truth, "He shed his beams of light divine o'er this benighted soul of mine." Now, secondly, let me say, this sight that Moses saw was a transforming sight. That day at Horeb, when Moses turned aside, drawn irresistibly to gaze upon the miraculous revelation of the God of glory, was a great turning point in his life. There was the angel of the Lord in the mould of a flame. Deuteronomy 33:16 speaks to us of him that dwelt in the bush. And Moses received a great revelation of God that can perhaps be summarized in three words: living, holy, indwelling. Firstly, the bush was not consumed because that flame needed no fuel, being self-sufficient, alive in itself. Secondly, also that flame was the unapproachable holiness of God. The words were spoken there and then: "Draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground." And thirdly, the sovereign grace of God, who chooses and empowers instruments of service and then indwells them, also indwelt that bush. So what a revelation Moses received there that day. And then, what a day in his life it must have been when Moses on two occasions went forth into the living presence of God on Mount Sinai. Sinai's revelation of the glory of God to his soul transformed even Moses' countenance, causing his face to shine, the scripture says. And when Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus had a great and glorious revelation of the Lord, he too was transformed. Who has not read the prophecy of Isaiah and not noticed the transformation, the great fundamental and thorough change that came over him and remained with him after he wrote, "I saw the Lord"? You see, the liberal theologians, they would try and tell us that there were two or three Isaiahs. Well, in a sense, they're right. Because that man Isaiah, the prince prophet, was transformed when he wrote those words and could say those words, "I saw also the Lord." It was a life-changing sight that he saw. When the gracious dealings of the Lord with a soul are such that he is made to feel his own sinfulness, weakness, darkness, and death, then he is made to hunger and seek for relief. And the sight of the blessed Redeemer, the suitable Savior, comes before his eyes. And he sees in the Savior's death the substitutionary atoning sacrifice for his own soul. He sees in the Savior's blood the cleansing, the forgiveness, the redemption that his poor old sin-sick, sin-sodden soul longs for. It is a soul life-transforming sight. It is impossible for a spirit-enlightened soul to look upon God in Christ and not be fundamentally affected. No man can truly gaze upon Christ, beholding him as he truly is, and remain the same as he was before. You see, when men see God, the scriptures show us, they fall to the earth and veil their own faces, and they arise as new men. The meek and mild Moses, who at first quaked, that says, "Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, that I should bring forth the children out of Egypt?" He, Moses, was able to endure as seeing him who is invisible to such a wonderful degree that General Montgomery of Alamein described him as the greatest and most brilliant military leader that has ever lived. That's the general's description of Moses. Well, you see, you and I know that Moses was divinely helped and graciously enabled through seeing him who is invisible. Back in Exodus chapter 2 and verse 15, Moses had not yet seen God. And there it is recorded that he, quotes, "fled from the face of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt." But speaking concerning him after he had seen the Lord, Hebrews 11:27, in the early part of that verse, records, "By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king." So let me tell you that when a man has truly seen the Lord and has beheld something of divine sovereignty and holiness, and has learned that fear of the Lord that is the beginning of wisdom, that man is not too inclined to fear the face of clay. When an individual is utterly convinced that he stands in the sight with the support of his God, then he is bold as a lion. Why? Because he endures as seeing him who is invisible. He is transformed. Now, thirdly, let me say this afternoon that this sight that Moses saw was a separating sight. He forsook Egypt. Well, Egypt had been the place of bondage and servitude, the place of enslavement. Moses believed in the salvation of the Lord. And God led Moses into something better, something new. And he walked in the light of God's word. He forsook Egypt. Now, Egypt speaks in the scriptures of the world. God separates his people from the world. He separates them morally and spiritually. The way that the world thinks and acts and speaks not the way of the Lord's people. The way that the ungodly live in their home life is not the way that God's people should conduct themselves in their habitations. The way that the worldly conduct their business affairs is not the way that the righteous sons of God conduct theirs. You see, God leads his people out of the old life into a new life and a glorious prospect. They are chosen, called out, a separated people. Now, in Moses' day, when he was leading all those hordes of people, there were among them those who longed for the old former life, when things were a little hard and difficult, and providence did not please them. But for those who have truly seen the Lord, who have heard his great, irresistible, and effectual call, there can be no going back to the old life, only a going on with God. Hebrews 10, verses 38-39 tell us, "Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him." But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. You see, being separated, being sanctified unto God, means a great deal more than merely attending a place of worship on Sunday, singing hymns and listening to sermons. It means not having the spirit of the world, nor a taste for the things of the world. The separation that God effected concerning Moses and the children of Israel was not only a severing from moral impurity, but also from spiritual impurity. The Bible recognizes, I hope you know this, the Bible recognizes there's not only a moral impurity, but there's a spiritual impurity. And the people of God are to be separated from both. The Egyptians were pagans. Their religion was unsound. God's people were to be entirely and totally separated from spiritually unsound people. They were to be a peculiar separated people. When an individual truly lives as seeing God, he will endure as a separated son of God. He is blind to the allurements of the world and deaf to all voices but the Lord's. See, the question is asked in Isaiah 42, verse 19, "Who is blind but my servant, or deaf as my messengers that I sent?" I want to say fourthly along this line, this was a sustaining sight, a sustaining sight. What words these are. He endured as seeing him. Thank God those who see him do endure. They are graciously enabled to endure. A lot of people don't really understand the true gospel. They think people can fall from salvation. John speaks of such people in his epistle, and he says, "They went out from us because they were not all of us. If they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. but that it might be made manifest that they are not all ours. They've gone out from us. Endurance. Endurance. The Greek word endured here means to be strong, firm. Oh, the pressure, oh, the strain that was put upon poor Moses. How much he had to endure at the hands of Pharaoh. Then his wife played him up and called him names. He was attacked by the tongues of his own brother and sister, Aaron and Miriam. And all the congregation and children of Israel murmured against Moses. But he was sustained. He was upheld. He endured. He remained strong, firm. He endured the afflictions, reproaches, and menaces with patience and courage. He was neither broken down nor overborne by them. He had divine help. He persevered. How we need to keep our eyes upon God, that through faith we might be more than conquerors. You see, these are the questions that we need to answer. When you behold the deathbeds of your loved ones, when you feel your own foot in the chilly waters of the swelling of Jordan, how shall you do? When health fails, when bereavements come, how shall you do? Well, if you live as seeing him who is invisible, you will be sustained by that glorious sight and will endure. Now, fifthly, let me say this afternoon that this sight that Moses saw was a satisfying sight. Back in verse 26 of Hebrews 11, we read, and this is about Moses, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. A satisfying sight. Now Moses considered that the reproaches he bore truly enriched him. More enriching to have had the gold than to have had the gold, silver, cattle and lands of Egypt. Have you ever heard about the enormous treasure cities of Egypt? And Moses for a time was a prince in Egypt. Moses preferred the affections and reproaches that were his through faithfulness and fidelity to God's true cause to all worldly riches and grandeur. He didn't murmur, he didn't complain at the treatment he received for being faithful to God. He esteemed the reproach of Christ, the text says, greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. There was a song, you might know it, I haven't heard it for a long time. I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be his than have riches untold. I don't believe everyone can truly sing those words. But a child of God can suffer no real loss while in touch with the unsearchable riches of Christ. How much value do we put upon the riches of the reproach of Christ? Our Lord said, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye, said Jesus, when men shall revile you, persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you, falsely for my sake. Rejoice! Be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. So persecuted they the prophets which were before you. See, those who truly see him that is invisible find it to be a wonderfully satisfying sight. Now, I want to say in the sixth place that this sight that Moses saw was a spiritual sight. We read, by faith he endured. Faith. Well, it needs faith to see the invisible. The things which are seen, as I'm often telling you, are temporal. Whereas the things that are unseen are eternal. And God's people see the unseen, yes. They love a Savior whose face they have not as yet beheld. The Bible, speaking of that in the first epistle of Peter, chapter 1 and verse 8, whom having not seen, ye loved. Moses believed the promises of God. When the Lord said at the burning bush, I am come down to deliver, Moses believed him. When the Lord said, certainly I will be with thee, Moses believed him. Moses did not believe in what he saw or in circumstances or what he felt. He believed in God's promise. The promises of God must be believed and trusted if the soul is to see God at all times and in all circumstances. If we are to endure and to conquer. It's written in the blessed book that does not lie. Believe, and thou shalt see. Those around us in the world, sadly, solemnly, for the most part, are non-believers. They are in darkness, not in light. We read in the scripture, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, for they are spiritually discerned. Thank God this afternoon. If he has revealed to your soul the things that are spiritually discerned. Man, there's a lot of people that see a lot of things, they never discern anything. If you by faith see him who is invisible, for you may well be assured that all who truly see that sight will themselves by God's unspeakable mercy endure. Let me desire for you, and will you desire for me, that we have something real in the matter of religion. Not just sentiment. Not just profession. For not everyone that saith, Lord, Lord. But that we have something real, some tangible. The hymn writer says, my name from the palms of his hands eternity will not erase. Impressed in its... on his heart it remains in marks of indelible grace. Yes, I, to the end shall endure, as sure as the earnest is given, more happy, but not more secure, the glorified spirits in heaven. Well, may God help you and help me to move through our lives, seeing him who is invisible. Henry Francis Light, in his famous hymn, Abide With Me, says, change and decay in all around I see. O thou who changest not, abide with me. May we truly know the Lord, and may we be filled continually with the persuasion that God is with us, undertaking for us, and upholding us. Amen.